You're listening to the Motorsport Prospects Podcast. Hey, it's Mark from Motorsport Prospects, and welcome to the Motorsport Prospects Podcast. This is where we dive into the world of motorsport with the people who live and breathe it, from driver coaches and sponsorship experts to team owners, pro drivers, and more. You'll hear real stories, practical advice, and insights you can actually use whether you're just starting out or already chasing success on the track. Now, I've often been asked why I started Motorsport Prospects. And I founded Motorsport Prospects and the Verified by Motorsport Prospects designation after hearing the same question time and again from drivers, aspiring drivers, their families, and advisors. And the question was very simple, but often very complex. And that was, who can I trust? Many people have struggled to find reliable guidance, so I created Motorsport Prospects simply to help them make informed decisions. The professionals I feature on this podcast represent the kind of trust that people are looking for. So if you work with drivers or racing teams, building trust is really one of the most important things you can do. Over the years, I found that being clear about what you offer, following through in your promises, and genuinely caring about your clients' goals makes all the difference. So I've put together some practical advice in a free white paper that you're free to download from the notes here on the podcast or on Motorsport Prospects. It's called The Three Essentials for Motorsport Business Owners, and it shares simple ways for you to strengthen relationships, track the right clients, and grow your motorsport business naturally. Let's get started. My guest today is Dan Wells. Dan is a driver turned entrepreneur and founder of Simulation and Driver Performance Center, Drivers Lab, DW Driver Management, and multiple championship winning Lamborghini race team, DW Evans GT, which is helping develop talent and run high performance programs from simulator to circuit. Welcome to the Motorsport Prospects. Dan, thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thanks very much, Mark. Great to be here.
So everybody I ask on the podcast, it's one simple question and it often turns out to be not so simple. And that's this: based on your experience and expertise as a motorsport professional, what would be the one most important piece of advice you could offer a current or aspiring race driver?
That's a very good question, Mark. In terms of advice, I'd say the first thing which sort of hits me is about thinking long term. It's very easy when you're a young driver and you're very much in that sort of short term thinking mode. So if you're like a driver from, let's say, you don't have much money, you're thinking about how to get the next 10 grand to be able to, do that kart race, whatever it is. If you are racing, but you might think, okay, I need to make everything happen now, even at the expense of something 6 months or a year or 5 years down the line. And so this is where I would say, planning, thinking long term, even if you are in that situation when you're starting out at that very beginning. And I remember when I started racing, I only came into the sport at the age of 18. So I was very, very late to the industry, late to racing. But, so I had a huge amount to catch up on. All of that knowledge base, you don't know what you don't know. And you have to find out all of these points. And so I remember being very sort of, let's say, short term sort of thinking. Like, I had my grand plan. I had like 9 A4 pieces of paper on the wall as to what I was going to do and everything, which I've sort of built to this point, which, I still have somewhere sort of with all the tape sort of holding it together. So I had that long term plan. But a lot of my key decisions were based on short-termism. And this is where, if you take a moment, take a step back, and this is where, having good advice, people right. who do listen to this podcast, who do, go to the right people. You told me before we started, the show, Ross Bentley was a recent guest, like his Speed Secrets books. The first thing I tell people when they're getting into motorsport is read these books. There is more information in these six books, these six volumes, than you could ever hope to have. And it's amazing the number of people who don't actually do that. It doesn't take that much time. In an industry, as we know, which is so expensive and so grueling for, the athletes, the families, the sponsors, the teams, everyone. a little bit of information. I say a little bit, there's a lot of information in there, but it doesn't take much time. But to be able to give yourself a much larger, let's say, window of operation, to be able to be a professional, because motorsport is small and life is long. And decisions which you make, or how you act in a certain way within the industry, that will get remembered. And you always want to be remembered when your opportunity, when your name comes up for a seat, or when something comes up, it's like, oh no, that guy's a proper professional. No, he's good. We like him for this reason. And so that would probably be, the first thing that sort of comes across my mind.
Yeah, actually, that's a great point because you're right. And you know what? It's not just in racing. We tend to always look at kind of the next week, the next day, then the next race. And we're not always kind of looking at the big picture and where we want to fit in. And also I think if you look at that big picture, you'll probably the there might be opportunities that if you're too short term, that you might be missing out on because you don't have that bigger picture.
No, exactly. I mean, it's if you whenever I start to work with a driver, for example, in driver's lab, I'm seeing a lot of drivers coming in. Driver's lab is a driver development facility with simulator. We train the drivers in the simulator, and so I'm seeing 12, 13 drivers a day coming in, and I say to them, I said, what's the end goal? And they'll say, oh, Formula One world champion, or they'll say, oh, they want to win Le Mans, or they'll just say, oh, they just want to be a professional driver, lots of different things. And then I take an A4 piece of paper, and I put at the end here, I say, okay, this is your goal, and this is us here. Are you doing everything that you need to get there? Are you on the right trajectory, or are we missing some bits? And they always go, oh yeah, no, probably not. They all say it. And it's like, well, so what are those things which you're not doing now in order to, are you operating at that level? If they often say, oh, I say, who's the best driver in the world? They say Max Verstappen. I said, okay, are you operating at the level right now to be able to on course in 5 years, 7 years, 10 years to be at that level? And they go, no. And so this is where, living in the present is great. 100%, you need to live in the present. But you do need to zoom out and go, okay, what's the end goal? What's the sort of point here? And this is where, the planning, something which is often, so many people take for granted is planning. Whether that's planning in terms of management. I once secured a seat for a driver, which was about a year and a half, 2 years in advance, in terms of putting the right sort of the groundwork together, and the choices of the previous team and who and the engineer and all of these sorts of things to be able to get that desired result. So, from the outside, you go, oh, that driver got a seat in the champion team. And oh, that was just because they had money, or just because they had this. Or, but, well, no, actually, there was a lot of smaller calculations and decisions and meetings and things which happened to be able to achieve that effect. And so, so many parents I see, they sort of, they'll talk, and then they rock up at, at an event with a team who, maybe they're not the best team, they don't have the best engineer, maybe they're not going to get the best, the best dampers, or whatever any of these sorts of things within the team is. And that's where, having that global view, as to, and not being stuck in the trenches, because it's so difficult. I had one driver who came into the facility first. He was about 14 and a half, 15, and great kid, really great kid. But we're now 2 and a half years past, and he's still in karts. And he's well past formula age, and it's like, they're so stuck in that, the now, which is, yeah, he's winning, but it's like, well, he should do, because he's 2, 3 years older than the rest of the competition. If they just zoom out to this point rather than staying here, zoom out to here and go, oh, actually, yeah, no, we're probably not on target, given the stated aim was Formula Four, or whatever as the next step. So it's not an easy thing to be able to balance and to manage in terms of a driver's career.
Which is key, I think, which is what Motorsport Prospects is all about, is finding the right people giving you the right advice. Because, like you said, people don't know what they don't know, and if they don't work with the right people that will help them build that long-term plan, well, to be perfectly honest, they're probably doing, well, there's two things they're ending up doing. They're spending a lot of money for no real return. And there's a good chance that that young driver will get so frustrated and either will quit the sport or the parents will run out of money and basically that we've lost yet another driver. So you mentioned Drivers Lab. Just maybe let everybody know a little bit about the about what Drivers Lab is all about and what you guys do.
Yeah, so Drivers Lab primarily is a driver development facility. So, you know, we look after drivers coming from karts into Formula 4, for example. We have a lot of, you know, development programs for them to be able to transition into Formula 4 in the most, let's say, cost-effective and easiest way for them to go into, you know, whether it's Italian F4, British F4, these sorts of things. But we also work with, you know, drivers in GTs and prototypes. You know, we work with CrowdStrike Racing. They were... they're actually our first clients in 2024 when they won the Asian Le Mans Championship in that year. You know, they all came in and did their preparation. So effectively, you know, a single-seater chassis simulated with a full projection with ProSim braking and all of the peripherals, which are all from top level. And simulation, you know, you have to, if you're teaching things, you know, driving-wise, you have to make sure it's accurate. So it operates right at the level is... exceptionally high end, but gives us the ability to, you know, develop drivers. But not just that, we do the cognitive development. We also have the physical training and the nutrition, everything which you would want as sort of driver development, you know, an athlete development really. So, you know, Drivers Lab sits independently. You know, we work with, you know, all road management. We work with pro racing drivers. We work with Iron Lynx. We work with Absolute. We work with Dragon Racing. We work with, you know, some of the best management companies and teams in the sport, and okay, that stands independently. You know, I also have my own, you know, driver management business, which is very much specialized and focused on young drivers, you know, F4, Formula Regional, GB3, these sorts of areas, and then of course also the race team. So very used to wearing, let's say, different hats.
Right.
But seeing things from a driver, from a team owner's perspective, from a manager's perspective, you know, the training side, there's lots of different things within motorsport, which is what I love about it. You know, I love winning. Like, I'm exceptionally competitive. And, you know, I love nothing more than, you know, I took one kid from 2.5-3 seconds off the pace to winning a title, winning a race within 7 months and winning a title within a year and a half on a Formula One weekend.
Nice.
You know, I love that as a project.
Right.
At the same time, you know, Isaac Hadjar, he was a driver who, you know, I was fortunate enough to have in 2021 when his mother came to me being like, "Dan, I've got €80,000, you know, what can I do?" And I was like, well, not very much, but we managed to, you know, get him into Asian Formula 3, put his mechanics, you know, the right mechanics on the car, the right engineer, you know, work that together nicely with Evans Grand Prix. And then, you know, it worked nicely. And I spoke to Zach Brown at McLaren. I said, "You need to sign this kid." You know, that was the first day I could see the kid was mustered. And of course, we all picked him up, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Now, Drivers Lab is based in Dubai.
Yeah. Yeah. It's based just opposite Turn One of Dubai Autodrome. So the facility which we have there, you know, we're, you know, obviously very easy for Dubai, and then also for Yas Marina Prep. So this is our busiest time of the year. You know, we were really busy October, November, December. But then now we have Formula Regional this weekend. We have Formula 4. We have the Dubai 24 Hours, of which Drivers Lab is a partner with the Creventic 24 Hour Series.
Oh, okay.
So we have logos on the back of every one of the cars in the Creventic Series. So that's always a cool event. So it's the busiest time. And, of course, a lot of the drivers coming in to do their prep. We end up doing sessions from 7 in the morning until 11 at night. We had some requests for 5 a.m. even. But again, this is where the preparation comes in. It never ceases to amaze me how, you know, even yesterday I got a message, "Oh, Dan, can I get a simulator slot for, you know, today?" Like literally that day. And, you know, I had to give away like the 9 p.m. session or something because obviously we were fully booked. But I do get to see who's organized and who's, let's say, less organized. And there's one driver coach who, you know, he booked in about 6 weeks ago. And, you know, he's already confirmed the dates, the times, everything. And, you know, that's a proper professional. You know, okay, we still cater, you know, when as best as we can on the day, but yeah, it does give good insight as to who's on top of their game and who's maybe just slightly behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and ultimately, every professional I ever talk to, every successful race driver I talk to, or team principal, the ultimate, at the end of the day, it's always the same thing. It's a lot of work, and you have to be willing to put in that work if you're going to be successful. And I think sometimes people, and I think that's where that long-termism is important, where people underestimate the amount of work involved in getting to and becoming a professional race driver. I mean, it's just an incredible amount of work.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. You know, yeah, the number of drivers who I do see who have this goal or this aim, and you know, I can think of some drivers who, yeah, you know, you give so much advice or time, or and this really is it's energy, you know, and especially if you care, you know, there's if you care and you're competitive and you really want to help, you know, and they'll still, you know, maybe not take that advice on board or not work as hard. And it's like, well, the reason why we're here is because we've been there, we've done it. You know, we've worked with the best professionals in the sport. They've been there and done it. They've seen the best drivers, you know, they've seen the best, you know, the best of what there is. They're very familiar with the global picture, yet they still don't work as hard. But that's the thing when you're young. And you know what always impressed me with, like, Hadjar, for example, you know, he was just, I mean, he was exceptionally motivated. He was exceptionally dedicated. And there was nothing which would stop him getting to F1. Like, he would sit there and he was obsessed by it, you know. And then you see some other drivers and they go, you know, oh yeah, it'd be good to do this. And oh, you know, that's like, you've got your journeyman, and then you've got your real sort of proper, you know, your Max Verstappens and your Hadjars and your, you know, guys like this. And so it's you know, trying to actually get people to understand that, okay, you know, this is not an easy sport. It's not an easy sport mentally, it's not an easy sport physically. There's a lot of things which need to come together for you to, you know, be in the sport for, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Yeah, it's not the work of a moment.
And you talk about mental. I mean, Hadjar is a perfect example. His very first race, when he had that, he crashed out on the, it wasn't even the first lap. It was the formation lap. And to be able to, to be able to learn from that experience and then take that, and instead of it completely dominating your thinking and affecting your driving, he literally took that as a lesson and turned that around. And I mean, it shows what he does on the track now. So, it takes, yeah, I think it takes a certain dedicated person to take the down parts of it. And look, there's a lot of times where things don't go well, and to mentally be able to learn from that and build on that, as opposed to just saying, this is terrible and woe is me. That's the mental part of it is, I think people underestimate that as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's always something which, you know, in terms of mindset, you know, we work with Enzo Mucci. You know,
He's going to be on
he's
the
a
show.
oh, brilliant! Oh, super! Yeah, I mean, he's brilliant, and it's funny actually. So, but it's great because the people you got on the show, they're people who helped me when I came into the sport. So Enzo is the guy who inspired me at the very, very beginning that I could become a racing driver, because when I was, you know, doing politics and economics at school, I was listening to the Enzo Mucci volumes. What was it? I think he had six volumes as well, but CD discs. And you know, I was listening to that when I was him, and you know, I applied a lot of what Enzo was saying. And Enzo worked with he's worked with all of my drivers. You know, he's a superb individual. But yeah, the mindset, you know, just where do you place your focus? Where do you place your energy? You know, and this applies to, you know, myself now in the role, which, you know, I'm now retired as a driver. You know, I retired with three titles end of last year. But you know, how do I apply that now in my business? How do I apply it with my drivers? How do we, you know, apply it with the drivers at Drivers Lab? You know, also with my, you know, Lamborghini team, you know, in a role which is, you know, we won five titles in the last 3 years. But you know, a lot of that, so much of that came down to the mental side. And not just of the drivers, but of the, you know, of myself, of the engineer, of the mechanics, you know, how they went about it. It's a huge part of it.
Right.
And if you don't have that grounding, let's say steady hand, you know, it's in your vicinity as a driver or as a parent or something, it's very easy to get too, you know, and it all just becomes too much because there's too much emotion, there's too much money, there's too much risk, there's all of these things, and it just
Right.
needs that steady hand. Let's go. It's
Yeah.
okay. It's under control.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah, no, and that's exactly what sets a professional apart from, you know, from somebody who's not. So how do people find out more about Driver's Lab? Where did they go? You guys
So
online, I'm assuming?
yeah, Driver's Lab. You can find us on Instagram, drivers.lab. We have some quite sometimes some funny content on there. You can follow us, but we're also on the website drivers-lab.com.
Okay.
Yeah, personally, I'm Dan Wells Racing on Instagram. You can find all of the different links, whether it's the Lamborghini team or the management company, or Driver's Lab there. But everything motorsport, and yeah, always happy to get on a call or to have a chat with someone who wants some guidance in motorsport.
Perfect. I'll post all those links in the show notes for anybody that wants to connect with Dan and see what he's up to. Now, I do have one final question, and it's a fun one. Favorite track, current or historical, what would that be for you?
Macau Grand Prix,
Oh, really?
definitely the Macau circuit. Yeah, it's so I did Macau in 2013, 14, and 15, and yeah, it's just such an amazing track because you got the high speed, you know, with the Mandarin flat out corner right hander. Then you've got the mountain section, you've got the bumps. It's in Asia, which, you know, it was only next door to me in Hong Kong. You know, I was living in Hong Kong for 13 years. And it had such a really amazing feel, you know, to drive. I did it in Formula 3 against Max Verstappen, and I remember Max overtaking me around the outside of that Mandarin Bend, like flat out, like it's crazy.
Wow.
But yeah, so I'd have to go with the Macau circuit.
I love watching Macau every year. You know, you have the inevitable, especially with the sports cars, when one guy goes out in a corner and it's that concertina effect, which sometimes is wild to watch. But that is a fun race. And I've always told people, I've always recommended people to at least watch it. Yeah, brilliant. Well, thanks so much, Dan, for being on the show. Really appreciate it. Like I said to everybody, I'll put all the links on the show notes. Definitely check out Dan's content. There's always a lot of really interesting things, some great information that you might have missed. Dan's got some really good stuff that'll help you out in your journey in motorsport. So that's it for this week. This is Mark from Motorsport Prospects reminding you to stay fast. Stay focused and keep chasing that checkered flag. Thanks for listening to the Motorsport Prospects Podcast. For insights, advice, and the latest news racers can use, visit motorsportprospects.com.